everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of the Online Warriors podcast. I am Nerd Bummer, joined by my wonderful co-host, Tectic.
Hello, hello.
This week, unfortunately, we don't have Illegal with us. He had a last-minute conflict, which means we're changing it up a little bit. Tectic and I will be giving you the rundown of all of the latest nerdy news. We'll still be talking about what we've been up to, but we won't have a quiz this week, A, because Illegal was supposed to host the quiz, and clearly he's not here.
He's chewing the fat and circling back. Hashtag corporate America.
But also, you know, we tried to do like two-person quizzes in the past, and it doesn't hit quite the same.
It's more like a, hey, did you know this? And then you go, cool.
Yeah. So, and like you're trying to battle against yourself, and it's a very, very weird thing to do. So it's just the two of us. We have called this date night in the past. Tectic, like, where would you say podcast date night ranks in terms of like all of the dates that we've ever done?
Incredibly low. Incredibly low.
No?
My favorite dates involve mango margaritas and chips and salsa.
I mean, there's nothing stopping us from giving the wonderful audience some like ASMR.
We could get some crunches the entire time.
Margarita slurps, crunches, you know the deal. Shall we do it?
No, not even a little bit. I think it'll just sound sloppy.
Sloppy, sloppy, sloppy. Well, to kick off your May, because I believe this episode is coming out on May 1st, which is, you know, happy May, everybody. May
it's
Day.
It's gonna be May.
Thank you, Justin Timberlake. But we do have some very cool movie news to cover this week. So we got trailers for Blink Twice, Hitman, and Mufasa, the Lion King live action prequel.
Which, like, what's wild about this episode is two out of three of these movies are absolutely right up Illegal's alley. Hitman and Blink Twice are like peak Illegal. He could care less about Disney. Like, he's just a curmudgeon as far as Disney content goes.
Yeah, it's a little sad, but you know, the nice thing is he's going to get to listen back to this episode and then either sit there and be like, oh yeah, you guys have wonderful opinions. You guys are fantastic. Like, I know he's going to, or he'll just be seething because we're going to say the wrong things and he's going to be like, oh my God, I had so much to say.
I can put on my Illegal voice if you want.
You have an Illegal voice?
Yeah, it's, hello. No, that's not very good.
That's not a very good one. Although, I don't condone AI in the use of like creative endeavors at all.
We could substitute it. We have so much like footage of his voice recording. We could probably make an AI model of him.
We probably could. So in the future, if you hear Illegal say some things like, oh, Nerd Bomber and Tectic are my favorite people on the planet, and I'm going to give them $1 million and leave them everything in my will. It's totally not AI. It's 100% Illegal. Don't remember this conversation.
That's kind of wild. I'm you're really like putting into perspective the fact that we have like hundreds of episodes of each and every one of our individual voice recordings. We are absolutely positioned to make an entire AI generated episode of each and every one of us. Isn't that kind of crazy?
It is. It's really crazy to think about.
Because we're all separate files too.
Oh yeah. I mean, they could figure out our inflections, even just based on like what we're saying about content in general. They could probably glean our personal opinions on things. Like, I don't know how deep the AI well runs, but I'm sure we could do very in-depth character models for all of us, and it would be kind of scary. And I hope that never happens. Please, if you are listening to this out there in the audience, don't do this to us.
Well, they're not as positioned as well. They'd have to edit out each individual one of our final file, whereas we have the raw, so we can do it easily.
This is just a slippery slope, though. I don't want to go down this path. I don't want to do it. I don't want to be.
I feel like
AI.
Dr. Frankenstein right now. Like, I'm in a unique position. It's alive. That
yeah.
Is all.
Thanks. I hate it. So anyway, which movie do you want to start with, Tectic?
Let's talk about Blink Twice.
All right. So this was a movie trailer that just came out, I believe, in the last week. This is a movie by Amazon/MGM Studios featuring Channing Tatum, Haley Joel Osment. There's a lot of, I think, Christian Slater, Gina Davis. I don't know a lot of the other people in it, but it's also directed by Zoe Kravitz, and it's more of an ensemble type film. It's basically a psychological, I thought at first it was like a mystery, but more of a thriller type movie. Initially, I kind of got sort of like a Knives Out feel for it. But then as the trailer continued, it's definitely more like psychological horror bent, almost in the same vein as like Midsommar.
Midsommar, I think, is an excellent draw because I was getting like hardcore ritualistic sacrifice vibes. And I mean, that's what everything was alluding to, right? People were going missing. You had a bunch of rich people, and then they brought a cocktail waitress, which is like, that's kind of the vibe that you get when you think about rich people in islands is like taking advantage of the poor people, jerks. And that's what I think this is. And this, like I said, this is horror, illegal, plus murder mystery, illegal, equals illegal. This is his movie. Guys, I think he should see this. That's going to be my professional podcast recommendation, is that Illegal should watch it. I don't care if anyone else watches it, but he should absolutely watch it.
So I want to kind of get your opinion and predictions. So essentially the premise is a cocktail waitress is invited by this billionaire tech mogul played by Channing Tatum back to his private island. And, you know, it seems like they're having fun, they're partying, but then they all kind of are like, are we having fun? Like, I feel like I'm having a good time, but also I feel like I'm not somehow. And then people start to go missing and they start to kind of like lose their memories, have like blanks in their memories. Do you think that Channing Tatum's character, the billionaire tech guy, is the person behind whatever is going on here?
It's his island.
Or do you think that there are people like natives to the private island who, you know, hate that he came here and basically bought their island and they're basically taking it out on all of his guests?
No, I think it's his island and he brings people periodically, kind of like a, what's the turn of phrase, the world's toughest game or whatever it is when you hunt people, kind of like that vibe. It's 100% that he is a bad guy. Don't trust Mr. Tatum. Also, I do find it weird that if you Wikipedia this, it was originally pitched as calling it, instead of Blink Twice, it was supposed to be called Pussy Island. So I'm not quite sure how that tracks with the vibe that we're getting from the trailers.
That's interesting. I did not realize that. That's so weird. Like, I'm trying to think. I guess it's a no wonder why, you know, they changed the title, because I don't really understand how that fits. But hey. I am not a screenwriter.
And it could have been they wrote it one direction and then, I mean, this was back in 2017, but maybe they wrote it in one direction and it felt gross. And so they just pivoted the concept. You know, it's like this has good bones, but we really want to completely remodel the house.
So obviously, and I'm sure all of the tech moguls out there in the world will be listening to this podcast, but obviously this is supposed to kind of poke a little bit of fun or have some sort of political commentary about, you know, these ultra rich tech guys. Which one do you think that Channing Tatum's character is modeled after? Like, do you think this is Musk? Do you think this is Facebook guy whose name I can't remember right now? Do you think it's Amazon guy, Jeff Bezos? Like, who do we think that this is, you know, kind of modeled after? Or do you think it's like an amalgamation of all of these guys?
I think it's just a generic amalgamation of all of these tech guys. That's all I think it is. I don't think there's anyone that he's really supposed to be like, because honestly, he's got too much charisma to really be any of them. I think all of those aforementioned characters are too weird and not charismatic to hold a candle to Channing Tatum.
I do think Channing Tatum was a really interesting choice here, and I don't want to typecast him, but like when I think of Channing Tatum, I don't think of...
You think Salt of the Earth, bad boy?
Kind of, yeah. Like, I feel like Christian Slater or Haley Joel Osment would have been a more apt choice in my mind for a billionaire. But I guess then, like, that's not quite as alluring or, I feel weird saying this, but like, quote unquote, sexy of a person to, you know, lure in a cocktail waitress to his fancy island. So maybe that makes sense.
Magic Mike, look how far you've come.
Yeah. Taking people to your private island. Maybe murder.
That's why
them.
It's called Pussy Island. We figured it out. This is Magic Mike 4.
So, did you ever watch though the Magic Mike movies? I know this is a little bit of a tangent, but
just 1 and 2.
You saw the second one?
Some of 3.
I can't tell if you're being sarcastic.
I'm being serious.
When did you watch the other ones? I've only seen the first one.
It was cable television.
When was this,
though? It was like, I don't know. They came out so long ago. It was like they just didn't. On. We I was were, flipping through.
We knew
I was
each
like,
other.
Oh, look at that.
Very just interesting.
Don't judge me, okay? Leave me alone.
Well, no. So I went through this phase. So back when we were in college and we had like first met, our college had this movie channel and it was like HBO, but it was one movie and it played...
Magic Mike was always on.
It was always on. So they basically played the same movie 24/7 back to back to back for like a month. And then they would change out the movies. But for whatever reason, Magic Mike, like they kept coming back to it. So over the course of our time at college, I probably saw Magic Mike like 8 times because I would be flicking through and we had very limited cable in our dorms and our on-campus apartments. Like it was basically just whatever the college provided to you. And so I ended up on Magic Mike a lot because it was like Magic Mike or Jerry Springer. And I love me some Jerry Springer, but like...
She loves her some Mike too.
I did, but it was only ever the first one. I've never seen the other ones. And I've kind of been like, I didn't want you to judge me for watching the other ones.
I watched it. It's cool.
So we can watch them?
I mean, you can watch them, yeah.
We should watch the Magic Mike movies
together.
I've watched
Twilight already. I'm good.
You watched Twilight and you enjoyed it. You watched The Hunger Games and you enjoyed that. So Magic Mike is going to be our next thing. And then after Magic Mike... This is my...
Planet of the Apes.
That was my proposition. I will watch Planet of the Apes.
No, but that's not... That's what Illegal wants to watch. I want to advocate for Godzilla.
No, that is what Steven wanted me to watch the Apes. So, you also wanted to watch Apes. There's more people who want me to watch Apes than Godzilla.
Which should we watch? Put it on the Twitters. Please side with me.
But it has to be after Magic Mike. I will only watch these movies after we watch the Magic Mike. Are there 4 of them now? Magic Mike is like officially over, but I think there were like 3 or maybe 4.
I think there's
4.
3 total. I don't remember a 4. I mentioned that this is the 4th. Pussy Island is in the 4th.
I just got to do a quick fact check here. Magic Mike 4. Magic Mike 4, Magic Mike's Last Dance actually came out in 2023 with a whopping 48% on Rotten Tomatoes, but we both know. We know how I feel about that. I mean, it's on Netflix. So.
I mean, a lot of scores are bad on this, though. It's not just the critic score.
Shh. All right. So we have a plan of attack. We're going to watch Magic Mike. We're going to watch either giant dino lizard things or apes, what have you. And that's our next plan of attack for movie watching. I'm glad we got that sorted out, tactic. All right, so we're going to make a little bit of a pivot before we do 2 back-to-back Illegal movies. We got a sandwich and a movie that I'm super stoked for. Mufasa. The Lion King.
I've got things to say about this one.
Got things to say. Well, I'll kind of describe this before we dive into our opinions. Obviously, everybody is well aware at this point that Disney is doing a bunch of live-action re-recordings of their classic movies. And The Lion King was no exception. They released the original Lion King, I think that was back in like 2019. It was kind of like that photorealistic animated style. So I think the environments were realistic, but the animals were obviously, you know, while they were more realistic than, you know, a cartoon character, they were still, you know, animated. It starred people like Donald Glover, Seth Rogen, I think Beyonce was in it at one point. So that had mixed reception, but now we're getting a prequel movie that will be coming out December 20th, 2024, focused on Mufasa. And one of the biggest criticisms that was, you know, leveled against the, you know, photorealistic Lion King remake was that it didn't really bring a whole lot of additional stuff to the table. It kind of just felt like, you know, The Lion King was originally an animated movie and they came in and they told the same story, didn't really add anything new, but just kind of did it in this new format, like this new animation style. So people didn't love it. And I know that's what Illegal would say if he was here. He was like, I don't understand why these exist. All of these are just telling the same story. I don't understand why these exist, even though I enjoy them. I think this is a really interesting take because that's kind of bucking the trend. We have never gotten a Mufasa prequel story at all. We don't have a
but
Mufasa.
But we did.
No, we didn't.
Yes, we did.
When did we?
The Lion Guard.
No, that was Simba's son.
No, the Lion Guard gives you in-depth backstory and it explains how Scar used to be part of the Lion Guard. And that is why I am like, and it was always kind of like background story of Simba's son and like the Lion Guard and like how it came to be. But it never got, we never got like the true story of like Scar and how he was part of the Lion Guard and how Mufasa then became, because Scar was the Lion Guard, Mufasa became the king. And like, there's that whole backstory, and we don't see any of Scar in this trailer, and that's so good. You see how brothers can become enemies, and not having Scar in this is, I think, missing big time.
I don't know if that's correct. I've never watched The Lion Guard, but from what I understand, right both there,
look,
Mufasa,
let's Google it. Look, Scar, in his youth, he was the leader of the Lion Guard.
Yeah, I'm not saying that part is not correct, but I'm saying that I don't think we got a Mufasa backstory. I don't. And I don't think that this flies in the face, too, of what they can do here, because the premise in this trailer is basically saying that Mufasa was not a royal lion. Like, he had no ties to royalty. And throughout this story that we'll find out in this movie, he's going to come in and basically assert himself as the king. That doesn't preclude Scar from still being head of the Lion Guard, because Scar is his little brother. So once Mufasa becomes king, he can be like, okay, little bro, you can do it now.
But like, there's that hatred and that story between them on how they got to where they are in the original Lion King. And again, just by not having Scar in this at all.
I mean, we don't know that Scar is not in this. They might just not have cast him yet.
That's fair. But we didn't see him in the trailer. And I really hope that.
But it might be one of those things, though, where it's like saved for this big movie moment. You know, they don't want to give too much away. And then all of a sudden Scar is going to show up and it's going to be like, wow, there's Scar.
Golly, I hope you're right. I really, really do. But that's the biggest thing I take issue with, because like I loved, and yes, I know I'm an adult, but I loved watching episodes of The Lion Guard. And I thought the little tattoo was so cool. There was a hot minute where I was like, I'm getting that tattoo. It's so cool. It's so cool.
What I also find very interesting about this movie, so apparently this isn't just going to be like a Mufasa prologue told through the eyes of Mufasa, and this is where Timon and Pumbaa come in, because I was very confused initially and I had to look this up. So you see Timon and Pumbaa in the trailer for this movie, and for me, I was like, Timon and Pumbaa, like, they didn't know Mufasa. Like, they met Simba. And, like,
you have to say what you said. They met Simba and were like, nah, forget about it.
Well, no. So Simba comes in, and I was trying to think, like, did they know Mufasa? And, like, they just never made the connection? Because, like, when Simba showed up, they were like, oh, your father's dead? Forget about it. Hakuna Matata. Move on. And then, like, eventually they were like, oh, my God, you're in line to be the king once Simba grows up. But this movie is actually being told by Timon and Pumbaa and Rafiki, and they're telling the story to Kiara, which if you've seen The Lion King 2, the animated version, Kiara is Simba and Nala's daughter. So it's going to be like a flashback telling sort of thing. And I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah, why bother with that part? Right? It just seems like you're casting extra people for the sake of casting extra people.
Well, it seems like they just wanted like Seth Rogen and Billy Eichner back, but like I kind of just want a Mufasa story.
It's for comic relief. It's 100% just to get like a couple LOLs in there and make it more fun for the kids, and as opposed to this like think story with gravitas.
Well, I also think kind of going along the casting lines too. And I don't want to say this, they're kind of like using Beyonce, but they've cast Beyonce's daughter as Kiara. And so they're probably kind of also leaning on the fact Beyonce was Nala in the original, you know, animated remake. She'll be returning and reprising that role as Nala. Donald Glover will be coming back as Simba. And so Beyonce's daughter is playing their movie daughter here. And you can't tell me that that's not also part of like a PR marketing game to be like, hey, well, remember that movie where we had this all-star cast? We're going to do a prequel and not include any of them. Now they can like shout Beyonce and her daughter from the rooftops. And I'm sure that will bring in some people.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. But you're right. It's the Disneyfication of good content. And Disney is a shell of what it once was. It really is.
I mean,
I'm talking 1994 once was, by the way.
Well, yeah. I am, though, very curious. So, obviously, the initial Lion King movie, like, that all had music and storyline established, and they just had to, like, zhuzh it up. This is going to have Lin-Manuel Miranda, Pharrell Williams, Hans Zimmer coming together to make new music for this. It's all going to be coming, you know, from scratch, new story from scratch. I'm very curious to see, I guess, just how it will feel. Will they kind of keep the Elton John vibes of the original Lion King soundtrack, or are they going to kind of like Encanto it? Not that I'm saying that Lin-Manuel Miranda's music all sounds the same, but like they're very different vibes. And I'm very curious to see where the story and the music is going to fall on the Lion King vibe chart.
I think the vibe, though, is going in the right direction on the from the soundtrack. I actually preferred some of the scores from the animated, I mean, from the newer one as opposed to the animated. They were, don't get me wrong, they're both bangers. But like, I think it has more of like a, like an African vibe to it, right? That's where this is taking place. It makes sense.
Are you hating on the original
soundtrack? No, I'm not. I think it just fits. They did a really good job fitting the music to the location.
All right. All right. Do you have any other comments on this? Are you going to see this?
I need to see Scar. You need to see my boy. Then yes. I mean, regardless, I'm going to see this. I've watched every single one.
You've also, you're kind of at a disadvantage. Even if you didn't want to see this, The Lion King is one of my favorite Disney movies.
Your first crush, I know.
You're not wrong. But truly, like when I look back at all of the Disney movies that I watched as a kid, like I had an obsession with 101 Dalmatians when I was really little. But when I look back at the Disney movie that like stands out to me the most, that had the most impact on me, I always come back to The Lion King. Like the entire Lion King, I don't want to call it a trilogy because Lion King 1.5 isn't technically like a numbered entry, but the trilogy of Lion King movies, between the music, like going to see the Broadway play with my parents, just everything about it, all of the different characters, all of the messages and themes, like it is the pinnacle of Disney to me. So you would see this no matter what, because I'm going to make you.
Okay, I'm down.
What would you say was your favorite Disney movie of all time? And I feel like we've talked about this, but like,
are you talking the live action or the animated? Or
no, like all? The OG, like which one is the most pivotal?
Because Aladdin.
Okay,
because I thought it was Hercules, but it's Aladdin.
I like for the longest time you always said Hercules, but then something about Aladdin, like you always come back to it.
It's because I like the soundtrack of Aladdin better, but I like the story of Hercules better. I mean, everyone likes a hero story.
You don't
but
relate
just,
to the street rat.
That's the thing. It's like I resonate more with Aladdin than I do like a god, because who the fuck am I? But just I don't know. It's either one. Pick a day and I'll change my option, but it's between those two.
So we've already gotten an Aladdin remake. Hercules, though, I don't think there's anything planned.
I haven't emailed them yet.
You want to be Hercules?
No, I want to be Phil.
That actually works really well.
What?
Who? Okay, so you're Phil. Who would you cast as Hercules?
I would be either Phil or Hades. Okay, I really want Danny DeVito just to reprise his role as Phil.
You would be Hades. Danny DeVito is Phil. Who is Hercules here?
It has to be some kid. I don't know. Some hot
young
thing.
Well, no, you have a kid and then you have grown up Hercules. So we're gonna do some live Hercules fan casting, which there used to be a website for this.
If you say Tom Holland, I'm gonna be so mad.
No. All right, so young Hercules. I'm gonna read you off some different people. They do have Tom Holland on here. There's a lot of people I don't know. Kit Connor, I don't know who that is.
I like Parker Bates.
Parker Bates. Let's see what he's done. Has he been in anything? What is he known for? He was young Kevin on This Is Us.
Perfect.
Actually, that is a pretty good casting. Okay, Parker Bates.
And what do you think, Kevin from This Is Us?
As an adult? I don't know. There's Taron Egerton.
No.
Josh Hutcherson. Chris Pine.
No.
Liam Hemsworth.
I hate all of these.
Austin Butler.
I don't hate Jared
Keeso.
I don't hate Letterkenny.
Ooh. Okay. Yeah. I feel like Letterkenny. I know that's not his name. Jared Keeso. Okay, so we just fan casted your Hercules cast.
There you go.
There you go. Any last comments on Disney live action movies, Lion Guard? I know AI Illegal is out here saying he would love to
see
this movie.
I can see him standing in front of the three titans being like, so dumb.
All right. So we're going to take a quick break before we dive into our final movie trailer of the week. Before we do so, we do have to give a shout out to our wonderful Patreon producer, Stephen Keller. He will be due for a guest appearance very shortly. He will be able to come on the show, cast with us live in real time, get in your ear holes. But he also has a plethora of perks as a Patreon subscriber. He gets access to our monthly secret segments, our monthly vlogs. He gets to vote on our quiz topics. Unfortunately, no quiz this week, but normally there would be a quiz topic, as well as his, you know, special guest appearance. So we want to give a special shout out to Stephen Keller. He's been with us for many years now. He's been supporting the show. If you want to be as cool as him, head on over to patreon.com/onlinewarriorspodcast. There are multiple tiers. There's the page, the square, and the knight. Each has different levels of perks, but basically at the end of the day, you're getting more online warriors content and you help us keep the lights on, keep the mics hot. Now we're going to take a break and we'll get back to you shortly.
Welcome aboard Two Vague Airlines. We're cruising here at 40,000 feet. That might be too many feet, but what do I know? I'm not really an airplane. I'm a podcaster. Actually, I'm a co-podcaster. I'm the co-host of several episodes of the Two Vague podcast. If you haven't heard it, you're missing out. Check out the Two Vague podcast. Any place podcasts do whatever they do.
Ladies and gentlemen, the captain has turned off the fasten seatbelt sign. For your continued safety, Two Vague Airlines requires that you keep your seatbelt fastened at all times while seated. But while you're seated, you can tune into the Two Vague podcast, TWOVAGUE, on your favorite podcast services and enjoy the flight.
All right, and we're back. And, you know, I think I might need a hitman.
Why?
I'm joking. I don't actually need a hitman. Need the cops out there to know. I'm joking. I'm making a segue to our third trailer that we're covering in this episode, Hitman. And this is a Netflix original movie. This one, another illegal coded type movie. It's a romantic action comedy. In fact, it kind of gave me the same vibes as, what's the Stuntman movie coming out with?
Stuntman.
Is it really called Stuntman?
I think so, yeah.
That movie with Ryan Gosling. I feel like that's not what it's called, but that movie that's coming out with Ryan Gosling. And this is starring Glenn Powell. Fall Guy, yes, that's what it was called. It gave me that kind of vibes. But this screenplay was actually co-written by Glenn Powell. And I believe he, you know, was really stumping for this until it finally landed at Netflix. And he is playing the lead character who poses as a hitman, who's actually an undercover police officer, as he tries to basically, you know, have a sting operation, put people in jail who are trying to hire hitman. But then it all kind of falls apart when he meets somebody who he kind of has like a little bit of a romantic fling with. And, you know, they hit it off, have their little tete-a-tete, and try to, you know, infuse the illegal vocabulary here. But then they find out that her husband did indeed end up dead. And that's pretty much all we really know from the trailer. But he's essentially, you know, playing different styles of hitmen. I don't think he did it. And I think, in my opinion, I might be, you know, making this a little bit too simplistic. I feel like she didn't do it either. I feel like she's going to end up getting framed. Like, she changed her mind, but then somebody else killed her husband because he's just like a bad dude. And then, you know, at the end, they're going to end up together because she didn't actually do anything wrong. That's my opinion of where it's
going to
go.
Classic. You're sticking with, you think that it's going to stay in the rom-com.
Oh, yeah, genre. For sure. For sure.
Okay. Yeah, I think you're wrong. I think.
What do you think? Do you think she actually did it, or you think he did it?
I think she coerced him into doing it.
Can you leave that in?
I think that's what happened. I think she is a seductress and got him to do it.
I feel like, though, because in the trailer he seems so surprised when he finds out that her husband is dead, I feel like it can't be him. And also that would kind of fly in the face of like Glenn Powell is kind of establishing himself as this leading man who seems like a douche at first, but then it's kind of like heart of gold sort of dude.
Have you ever heard the saying, fake it till you make it, though?
Yeah, but what does that have to do here?
The whole story arc is him, he's faking as a hitman. Then he goes on to the next thing, fakes as a hitman. And before you know it, he's actually a hitman.
Yeah, maybe. This is actually a movie. So apparently this came out in 2023 at the Venice International Film Festival, but it's going to be, you know, having a cinematic select release May 24th, 2024, and then will eventually hit streaming on Netflix June 7th of this year. I was actually, you know, Glenn Powell aside, I was actually very excited for Retta. We saw Retta in, what was the, oh gosh, The Counterfeiting. What was that Counterfeiting show? I thought she was the best part of that show.
Oh man, I know what you're talking about.
Good Girls. That's yes. What it was. Yes.
She was the logic person.
Yes. She was the funniest logical person on Good Girls. Also loved her as Donna on Parks and Recreation. Retta, I feel like, has kind of flown under the radar. Like, she has these roles, but I feel like she hasn't really blown up. So I just love when I see her in a comedic role. And I'm so excited to see what she does with this role.
She plays the same role in everything she does. And it is the actor that says what everyone is thinking. That is her role. It doesn't matter what the genre is. She's saying what we're all thinking. And I love it.
Yeah, she's great. So I was very excited about Retta. What else are you thinking about this movie?
I just want it to be twisty. I want it to not be just a rom-com snooze fest. That's the main thing that I want from this. I want it to be like Netflix, you know, you love your true crime documentaries. Just kind of nestle in right there. Just do that, please.
Well, Netflix, so it's very interesting because they love their action movies. So this could go full throttle action. They love their romantic comedies. But those tend to be a little bit cheesier. Like, they don't do standard rom-com.
But if this was going to be action, you know it would have a Hemsworth, and it doesn't. So we know it's not at least action.
But Glenn Powell, he became like, I don't want to say he became a Hemsworth, but he became like a leading man because of Top Gun.
I forgot about that.
Like, he had that whole, yeah, that whole phase, and then Anyone But You, he became like kind of hot shit. Which, okay, let's reel the discussion back a little bit. How do we feel about Glenn Powell as both like your Mr. Manly Man, hot shit person, and also like your rom-com leading man? How do we feel about him in these scenarios?
I like him as rom-com leading man. I don't buy the action. I don't know why.
Same.
I don't know why. Like, it's not like he's not like built for it. He's definitely got the physique, but I just don't buy it. I can't get my head around it.
I really do think he is the next... Who was like a big rom-com person? Like Matthew McConaughey. If you go back to like the 2000s, I feel like if rom-coms were a bigger deal now, he could easily make himself into the next Matthew McConaughey. They have a similar build, but they also like, this might be a hot take, and I don't mean to like reduce people to their looks, but he's a little bit, in my eyes, like a butterface. Like, his face isn't really...
Versus Matthew McConaughey?
But like, I'm saying they're both like parallel.
I think you need that though. You can't have them be godlike.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I think that's why they work so well. It's because they have the body, but their face is more normal. Like, they don't have that like Adonis face. It's just like a normal face. They took somebody, gave him a six pack, but kept his normal face.
So he's a butter's face.
Sure. I think he has the potential to be the next Matthew McConaughey in terms of rom-coms. And that genre is coming back.
Not a hot take. Not a hot take at all. I agree with you.
And like, especially Anyone But You, we have not seen that yet. I know Legal did. I can't remember what his opinion of it was. But I want to say that from all the reviews that I read, it felt like people said that he carried that entire movie. No shade to Sydney Sweeney. I haven't watched it yet myself, so I can't really say either way. But also, there was that, oh, not Get It Up, because that's a horrible name to name a movie. But there was a Netflix movie where he was with Zoe Deutsch, and they were trying to get their bosses together. And it was like one of the first things that I had seen Glenn Powell in. But I thought he played a really good rom-com role in that movie. And now you have this where, you know, there's more of a rom-com edge. And I just think like that is his home. Maybe he was good in Top Gun, but I don't think that's where he resides. I think his home is the rom-com umbrella.
So welcome home. It's good to have you.
So is this safe to say that you are going to see this?
Yeah, we'll probably see. I mean, if it's on Netflix, it's like a no-brainer.
That's fair. I feel like anytime there's anything remotely rom-com-y hitting Netflix, we will instantly watch it.
Yeah, that's a fair comment.
All right. So with that, we've kind of wrapped up our news topics for the day. But Tactic, what have you been up to?
Wednesday.
I like it. Somebody had to sing it. I appreciate you.
So I have literally generated a firm divot on the couch. And we had a really rainy weekend. And so basically it was just any crevice of free time, I played Hades. I am like so frustrated that I haven't beaten it yet. And I don't know if I'm bad or if this is the genre of game that I'm expected to take this long to beat it. But man, I'm so close. I'm all the way to Hades himself. Killed him once, and I just haven't been able to put the dagger in there for this. Because you have to kill him twice.
Spoiler alert.
It's not really a spoiler. You have to kill him twice. And I can't get that darn second dagger down, and it's just driving me nuts. So that's all I've been up to. And yes, I'm a little bit feisty about it.
I think, though, I don't know, because does the Switch track how many hours you played things? I think it does.
It does.
I don't know how many hours you've put in, but we looked up my playtime the other day because I had played it on the Xbox a couple years ago. And granted, I had beat Hades like 10 times because after the first time around, like fully beat him 10 times, did 10 runs. But they started becoming quicker. Like I was doing them in like 35 minutes. And I think my overall playtime was something around like 30 to 40 hours. So I think you're still within that realm of learning curve. Like I don't think you're taking too long. I think you're kind of, you know, pacing it correctly. And we also discussed, and this was something that we discussed yesterday off the podcast, but the way that you're approaching this game is very different from the way that I was approaching this game. So my approach was very much like, I want to beat Hades, so I'm going to build my character, my choices, the decisions and power-ups that I'm selecting around giving myself the most powerful build for Hades. And I basically stuck, once I found a weapon that I liked, I'm more or less stuck with it until I finished the full run. And then I started kind of playing around with different weapons. You're taking a different tact.
Yeah, I'm approaching it to unlock things in parallel of trying to kill him. And so you unlock things by basically trying every single power up, every single weapon, so on and so forth. And if I happen to kill him on that run, it's just bonus. And so I'm hoping that by doing it in parallel, I unlock more concurrently in trying to progress, while then, because I unlocked more, I become faster, more powerful, quicker. And it feels like it might be a shortcut that takes me longer.
Overall, though, like I know you're getting frustrated with losing, which I think is inherent in a roguelike or roguelite or whatever the heck it is. Are you enjoying it? Because I think this is, besides like Crab Champions, this is like the first major intensive roguelike or roguelite, whatever the hell, that you've played. How do you like it? Like, are you enjoying it? Are you finding it frustrating? Clearly, you're finding it addicting. What are your thoughts?
I'm finding it frustrating because now I'm committed. My optimal playtime is like 6 to 10 hours on a game. Optimal. This has a good amount of staying power, so I think I can definitely exceed that. But man, I could see me losing patience if I don't get there soon.
There is a God mode that you can activate. It's basically like easy mode. I think it gives you potentially one more life, like when you die. And I think it makes the enemies a little bit easier. Is there a certain point at which you would turn that on?
No. Never.
So you would rather almost let the game go unfinished.
Correct.
And turn that on.
Correct.
That's so bizarre. You don't want to see how it ends?
Mama didn't raise no bitch.
But a quitter, apparently.
Yeah.
All right, then. Anything else you want to speak to?
Nope, that's me.
All right. So this weekend, on my end, I actually started playing a few different games. So I started playing Cocoon, and this is an indie puzzle game. I haven't finished this yet, but essentially you're a moth, and you kind of wake up in this very like futuristic-y type world, and you have to use different orbs with different powers to solve puzzles, go through like transporters. I don't want to give too much away because I feel like a lot of the fun in the game is figuring out how things work, and they very purposefully don't spell anything out for you. Like you basically just figure things out on your own. There's no instructions, but it's a very artful, delightful, stylistic puzzle game. I did stop about like, I think I put like 4 hours into it. And then I think you guys know me enough where like puzzle games don't always hold my attention for that long. Or at a certain point, like I just want something where I can turn my brain off. So I turned my brain off and I put it down, and I'm sure I'll come back to it later. The puzzles were ramping up in difficulty, and I was just like, I it's my weekend. I need a break. So I didn't want to do work in my video games and I put it down. But I would recommend it if you do like puzzles. I think it's a very interesting game. And it's actually something Tectic I think I would recommend to you. I know you've got a lot of homework. You're trying to make your own game. But if you're ever interested in like puzzles and puzzle mechanics, I think that Cocoon is a masterpiece in terms of, you know, very inherent puzzle explaining. Like, they don't explain anything, but you can figure it out very easily on your own, but yet they somehow like still hold your hand and explain things.
I do think that is a challenging balance to master, so it's definitely worth me checking out, because that always intrigues me how people develop puzzles intuitively without giving too much away.
And it is a relatively short game. I think I'm already halfway through this game, maybe a little bit more, because I think it's like 6 to 8 hours. So it's something, and especially you being a little bit, I'll acknowledge this, better at video game puzzles than me, just because you have a little bit more patience. You'll probably run through it quicker. But I also started playing Evil West, and this was my turn my brain off style game. And I was actually really excited to see a game in this style. This is very reminiscent of the like Xbox 360 and PS3 era style games. Evil West is a very linear style game. It's a third person shooter slash beat 'em up, and it really gave me Gears of War vibes, both in terms of, you know, the character design, the overall environmental style, the over the top levels of gore and activity. The premise of the game is that you play a character who is a vampire hunter in, you know, the Old West. It's a kind of like an alternate universe thing where there's more vampires and there's a, you know, successful, thriving business of vampire hunters. And your father owns this business and you are kind of like the main protege. So you're, you know, tracking down different types of vampires. It's not your standard like Dracula type vampires. They do exist in this game, but there's also like a lot of weird vampiric creatures that come at you. There's some that are super easy to kill, some that are, you know, very aggressive, big, have giant, you know, armor scales and can basically knock you down in one hit. But it's a very fast-paced game. In terms of like the speed, I would almost say it's very Doom-like. There's a lot of cool different weapons. Like, you have a gauntlet with a bunch of different like electric powers that you can use to punch people. There's a spray and pray style pistol. And then you also have a longer range. It's not a shotgun, but it's a longer range rifle. I'm only, like I said, like 3 or 4 hours into this game, but I'm having a blast. And I feel like games like this don't exist anymore. This genre kind of died out. Like, the only game that I can think of besides this that's come out in the last 5 years that is sort of in this vein is like Gears 5. And I don't know, there's something to be said about a very short, linear, dumb.
It looks spooky. That's all I can glean from
but
it.
Like, kind of like Gears looked spooky.
Yeah, okay.
Like, that genre just isn't really around anymore. And I know they're still working on the next Gears of War, but that's not out yet. And there's not many of these games that exist. I feel like everything, instead of being like a tight linear experience, is now this like sprawling open world. Even games that are more linear have more open world elements. This is very straightforward. You're in very tightly, you know, reined in environments. There's things for you to collect to like flesh out the world. But if you don't collect them, it's not a big deal. There's big cinematic cutscenes. I don't know. It's just, it feels very nostalgic and it's stupid, dumb fun. And I'm having a lot of fun with it. So if you like, you know, the Gears style, or even, I haven't played Crackdown in a very long time, so I can't really like put my finger on if Crackdown is the right comparison, but it's that style game that's just, I don't know, missing from my life these days. And so Evil West is here, and both of these games that I'm talking about are in Game Pass. So if you have Game Pass, you don't have to shell out money to play them, which is exciting. All right, Tectic, anything else you want to add?
Nope, that is it for me.
Yeah, we've had a very video game centric weekend. So next week, we'll have more nerdy news for you. Hopefully, Illegal will be back with us then. And until then, stay safe and keep on podcasting.